the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Well, our overriding theme for today is proclaiming. And we just heard from Sydney the reading from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 10. And if you want to look at it, it's on page 4 of the service booklet. It says, how are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one in whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? What is this about? Well, in this passage, Paul talks about they. Who are they? Actually, he's talking about the nation of Israel and how the gospel was proclaimed to the Gentiles, and then the Gentiles proclaimed it back to the people of Israel, God's chosen people. But even though this passage relates to Israel, we can, of course, learn from it too. However we came to the Christian faith, whether as a child or later on in life, whether through our parents or the church we went to or someone who spoke to us, however we came to faith, we came through a chain of events. Believing because we heard because someone proclaimed, and someone proclaimed because they were sent. So firstly, believing. When we proclaim the gospel, what is it we expect people to believe? What does it mean to believe in God and to believe the gospel? Some Christian churches and Christian groups are very strict and particular about this. They say you must agree with a whole kind of lot of specific beliefs or doctrines, otherwise you're not a real Christian. And obviously you have to believe the ones they say you should actually believe. Years ago I was asked to give a talk to members of a student Christian union, and 3 minutes before I was due to talk, the chairman, the president of the Christian Union, rather sheepishly gave me a piece of paper that listed 12 doctrines and asked me to sign it to confirm that I fully believed all those doctrines. There were things like the virgin birth, the inerrancy of the Bible, the nature of salvation. Well, it's not that I didn't in some way believe all those things on the list, though I might have different thoughts about some of them. I'm not saying what. But for the sake of those students who are just sitting there in front of me, I signed the piece of paper. But it made me feel that I couldn't be trusted, that I might contaminate the students with radical, heretical ideas. And also that these students, it also implies they can't think for themselves about truth, the nature of God and Jesus. And when we think about proclaiming the gospel to people, remember that Jesus in his dealings with people was not like that. Remember the Samaritan woman Jesus spoke to at the well. He accepted her as she was, and he gets her to think for herself about worship and other aspects that she was thinking about. Did you know that about 70 to 80% of people who become Christians at school or university eventually give up their faith? 70 to 80%. Recently I was reading about the triple jumper Jonathan Edwards, who won gold at the Olympics and other international athletics events. And he was a keen Christian who often spoke about his faith and about things he believed when he was interviewed on television. But actually, do you know what happened to him? He gave up and became an atheist. Why? I don't know, but perhaps he just absorbed a lot of his parents' beliefs and faith, and he couldn't believe it himself in the light of his later adult thoughts. And that's what can happen when we don't encourage people to think deeply and honestly about belief. Even if we proclaim it to them, we have to proclaim with a sense of the need to think deeply about what we ask people to do, what the Christian faith is all about. The Christian faith, belief and faith, are so much more than just signing up to a lot of doctrines handed down from someone else. And as you know, ideas and conflict about doctrines is the cause of much bloodshed in the history of the church, which is a real shame on the church. But say, for example, Thomas Cranmer, we were thinking about him during the week. He wrote the Book of Common Prayer, and he was burned at the stake as a heretic for his beliefs. Obviously, that was a long time ago, but we still need to remember that when we proclaim the gospel, we need to help people to understand for themselves their beliefs and their faith. We mature and grow as Christians not by believing things more fervently, but by being followers of Jesus as we serve and love others. So, secondly, when we proclaim something, people hear. How are they to believe in one whom they've never heard, says Paul? And here's a question for you. Are we really bothered whether other people hear the gospel or not? And just think for a moment and try and imagine how many of us here this morning would say that our lives are worse because we heard about the Christian faith and came to believe it when it was proclaimed to us by our parents or by others later in life. How many of us would be worse off for not hearing the gospel and having faith? If our lives are better for knowing God, I hope the answer to that just now was yes, my life is better for having a Christian faith. If our lives are better for having heard about the Christian faith, having heard it proclaimed, then maybe that will work for others, other people around us who don't have any faith or belief. It's not that we see ourselves as perfect or that we've got all the answers, but as we look around the world, we see many lives wrecked by self-interest, money, and possessions, and a neglect of our spiritual nature before God. On Friday, I went to the Tate Britain Gallery and to see an exhibition of photographs by Don McCullum. Don McCullum was a brilliant photographer, and still is, a photographer of war and famine and poverty. And going round hundreds of black and white photographs that he'd taken over the years, places like Vietnam, Biafra, various conflicts, it was absolutely brutal just to see all these photographs. And through those photos, we see a world in deep need of God's love, a world that needs people to reject violence and injustice as Jesus himself did. So it's our duty to make sure that others hear the gospel. In fact, it is Christ's command. And how do we do that? How do we communicate the gospel? It comes from proclaiming, our third and overarching topic this morning. Paul said, how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? So what does it mean to proclaim the gospel of Jesus? Years ago, I used to think that proclaiming only meant talking to people, or more accurately, talking at them about Jesus, giving them a gospel tract, which, if you don't know, is like a bit of paper with an explanation of the gospel and faith, a gospel tract. So giving out those and then walking off and hopefully never being engaged in conversation because I wasn't that confident. And also, when I attended a Pentecostal church when I was a student, I used to go around the clubs in Cardiff Docklands late at night on a Friday night. Now, Cardiff Docklands is nice now, but in those days it was really rough, and it was all a bit scary. I was with people from the church, of course, and on my own, and talked to people or gave them a gospel tract. I've no idea how effective that was. You just never know. It's all a bit random who you meet and encounter. But even so, I do believe there is a place for this kind of proclaiming. Whenever I stay at a hotel, I always look in the bedside drawer to see if there's a Gideon Bible. I used to know some people in the Gideons, and they often talked about the testimonies of people who'd just, out of boredom really, picked up the Bible in the hotel room and read it, and it changed their lives. So that's a kind of indirect proclaiming, if you like, making the scriptures available for people to read, because they are powerful. Well, there are many other ways in which we can proclaim the gospel other than mooching around dodgy clubs at night or giving out tracts or supporting the Gideons. And first and foremost, I think we proclaim Christ through the life that we live, a life of loving service in the name of Jesus. Whether you're at work or at home or in our communities, as Christians, we are to live lives that connect up with what we say we believe. If people we encounter know that we are Christians, they know we go to church regularly, they notice how we behave. And if we don't behave, they notice that too. Our lives should be a kind of testimony to what we believe. Think of the fruit of the Spirit listed by Paul in Galatians. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, Paul says. Do we aim for those qualities in our life? Do we ask God to give us his Spirit so that we might show forth the fruit of the Spirit and other people will see? And we can also be people who draw the attention of those around us to God's creation. The psalm says, the heavens are declaring the glory of God. And a few weeks ago, I was talking about when I was in Australia and New Zealand, and I mentioned that, you know, the incredible night sky in the Southern Hemisphere was something that spoke to me of God's glory, as did the wonderful vistas of the outback or the mountains and lakes. They're not pretty, they're sublime, and that sublimity of nature speaks to us and to many people of God. We often think of proclaiming as talking, so now I'm coming to that bit. It's not easy to speak to family and friends and strangers, and perhaps especially family, about the gospel. But what they do listen to is how being a Christian helps us in our life. I think it's not just saying this is what the Christian faith is, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and that's what you've got to believe to be a Christian. What's more important is how, as I was saying earlier, how we feel it's helped us and how we feel that we have that relationship with God through Christ. And that, to me, is a powerful thing for people to hear. We have to acknowledge that we can be fearful about saying these things, about talking about God. But like all those people who came to hear Jesus, even in our cynical and uninterested world, actually many people are hungry to hear God's message and to hear how their lives might be made right with him. Well, we've talked about the three things so far, believing, hearing, and proclaiming, but we can't proclaim unless we're sent. And from what I've just said, it's obvious that all Christians are sent out into the world. It's not just those with, like me, with a dog collar, the clergy, readers, and others with a licensed ministry in the church. It's every single one of us as a Christian that we are proclaiming because we are sent. We are sent out. And every week at the end of the service, we say those wonderful words, go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen. What is loving and serving the Lord if we're not doing the work that Jesus calls us to do and speaking about him? The work of Jesus is not just done inside the church as we minister to one another, as important as that is, but also outside, out there in the streets, in our homes, communities, wherever God sends us. Our gospel for today brings into focus what we are meant to do. Jesus said to Simon Peter, the fisherman, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." If we ask God for his Holy Spirit to guide us, we too can lose our fears about proclaiming as we encourage hearing and belief and as we are sent to the needy people of the world. Amen.